T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It was uneven, to be honest. In the first half, it was a massive butt-whipping. The defense just got after the offense. Very disappointing in the way that started to see the old faraway look in some guy on the offense and the things that we were trying to eradicate from our program. But we had a feeling that the disease wasn't fully cured. That being said, second half, the offense rallied. And where in the past, when things had not gone well, there would sort of be a tanking for the game. I saw, you know, a couple productive touchdown drives in the second half and guys showing some competitive fight and spirit, which is really what this camp and this offseason has all been about. So that'll be encouraging. But the self-inflicted wounds in the first half, not to mention just you know, sometimes you're just taking a beating, will be disappointing. But it's a good reality check. Conversely, defensively, to play as well as they played in the first half and then to sort of lose their edge in the second half was disappointing. So it's like what we figured. We have not solved all of our issues. We are solving them, but to think that we just, you know, snap our fingers and have it all fixed would be fooling ourselves.
All right, that was Manny Diaz to start our Monday morning. Hope everybody had a great weekend out there as we try to figure out. And we will know today. Actually, the coaching staff knows already. Enos and Manny and the rest of them meeting all day yesterday. The decision has been made, and we will know about it today. We thought maybe last night they'd sneak it in before it started to leak out. But Jaren Williams, Nakosi Perry, and Martell, we'll find out, and I'm guessing no by now, after the scrimmage, which you heard was a little rough in the first half for the offense, better in the second half, but you got to pick somebody. And the word is from a lot of people that Jaren Williams is going to be the quarterback. So find out. Nakosi Perry had a nice drive at the end of the scrimmage. But a lot of people think Jaren Williams ended up, of everybody, and his ability to run and some of the throws he made, he'll be the guy. But whoever it is, well, I'll tell you what, welcome to the first game of your college career against the Florida Gators defense, which is pretty damn good. So, Zach, we got all kinds of stuff to get to. Get ready for week two. The Miami Dolphins take off this afternoon to start practices tomorrow.
Joint practices are always fun, right?
For a couple days up in Tampa. And then they'll have their second preseason game up there. And we'll have a bunch of stuff on that a little bit later in the show as well. Preston Williams and Dwayne Harris and all the other guys that moved up. We saw a guy get cut. Jonathan Woodard was released. So he's out. And there'll probably be a lot more guys released, and there'll be a lot more guys coming in as we get into this. I'm guessing right up to the week of the opener, and even then some, if they're not real happy with guys. So we got a lot of stuff that we'll jump on here this morning. So who do you think the quarterback's going to be?
I'm going to stick with my guns. I said Tate Martell about a week ago, and the same question was asked, and I'll stay with that. Everyone's hearing different. The only person I'm not hearing anything about, which is funny, is Nakosi Perry. Outside of what you just said about he led a good drive at the end of that scrimmage, otherwise I'm hearing nothing about Nakosi, which seems in my mind to say that there's
no. He had a good last drive.
Yeah, and that's all I've heard.
Put a drive together.
I've heard nothing else from anyone else, any of the reporters. Nothing. It's all about Jaren or Tate had a bad one or this. If you're not being mentioned at this point, outside of what you just said about Nakosi, I just seem to think Nakosi is not that guy right now. Jaren Williams, you hear a lot about Tate not having the greatest scrimmage in the world. You hear about that, but I'm going to stick with Tate for now, but I have a feeling you might be right about Jaren Williams.
Well, and there hasn't been a lot said about Jaren Williams throughout this camp and even going back. He was just one of the guys, so we'll find out. But, yeah, I wonder if Jaren Williams is going to be the starting quarterback. A lot of people think that's where this team's going which, by the way, everybody thought he'd be the one guy that if he wasn't he'd be departing.
Right,
he'd be leaving and moving on. So,
interesting first start for him against a pretty good defense.
See,
in the limelight with everyone watching on Saturday night coming up in 12 days.
God, that's weird. 12 days. Hey, right. By the way, congratulations. You're the quarterback. You got 12 days to get ready for the Florida Gators because that's who we start with. Oh, by the way, not at home in Orlando.
Right.
So get yourself ready to go. Get your offensive line, tackles with the lack of experience, a big, big old concern for this Miami Hurricanes team. They've got some young guys that are probably going to be good down the road, but it's hard. Even going against guys who are really good at defensive end every day, really, really good. The Florida Gators got some guys that are going to make it really, really hard on you. So we'll find out what Coach Enos comes up with. He knows what his weaknesses are on the team. And, man, it's got the smell and feel of a lot of tight ends helping out tackles in this game. Try to put together an offense against a very good Gator defense. And then how will the Canes defense do against the Florida Gators? Listen, man, I can't wait. It'll be fun. Still a lot of work to get done with the whole thing. And, by the way, we got one of the weirdest stories from a guy that's from here. We like to keep up on all the players that are from here, and we had a lot of stories, actually, from a lot of guys this weekend. I've been doing sports for a long, long time, and we have stories now more than ever where you're going, wow, I don't remember ever seeing anything like that. But this Antonio Brown story, and I know how good he is, and I know how hard he works, and I know his workouts are legendary, and I know the numbers he puts up. He's a whack job, man. He is. So Antonio Brown, like to go through this whole thing, Michael Silver from NFL.com and NFL Network, who lives out there, by the way, got a story, and he got into specifics. Like, you can't just come out and, like, randomly out of New York come up with fake news. Like, this stuff is unbelievable. You got it from somebody in there, and Silver's been doing this a long time. He's an old Berkeley guy right next door to Oakland there. So he comes up, Zach, with this stuff. So we find out we've been going through the whole thing with his foot. We think it'll be back 3 or 4 weeks. So anyway, he kind of goes AWOL, and they don't really know where even when you go to get a second opinion, team likes to know where you're going.
Of course.
They want to know who the doctor is because they want to go through the process, the team doctors with the specialists that you're going to. That's number one. The second thing is, I mean, you just can't make all this up. So he's been kind of AWOL. When he comes back, apparently he's always late for meetings, and he's been seen while meetings are going on, always checking his finances to see how he's doing on his money and how all his accounts are doing on his stuff. So now they've been noticing he's been disappearing and leaving, and come to find out, they've told him, look, man, your 10-year-old helmet that you've been wearing, the league says you can't wear it. Those helmets are not allowed. There's this new technology. We spend millions and tens of millions of dollars to get the safest because of lawsuits, because of CTE, brain damage for all you guys. So we're doing the safest stuff. You got to wear one of our helmets. It's been approved by the league, by the union, by everybody. Antonio Brown says, I want to wear my 10-year-old helmet because I can see better, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard to think that they're making new technology and they're like, oh, by the way, the new technology helmets, not good for wide receivers to see.
Come on.
I don't hear Julio Jones or any of the other guys bitching, but Antonio Brown, he wants his old helmet, and now he says, if I don't get my old helmet, I'm going to quit, and oh, by the way, I'm going to stay away because I'm going to pout like a little baby. So all this stuff's going on. And now he's going to file a grievance against the NFL on this whole thing. I'd be shocked if the league gave in. Like, okay,
give in to that.
We'll let you wear this because he's threatening. If I get hurt in this new helmet, like, I'm going to sue you. Well, guess what? You're going to sue him if you get hurt in your old helmet too. Like, whole thing. Like, and then when he did that, if I'll just retire if I can't wear my helmet.
Okay, calls
take
bluff,
care, man.
Yeah, calls
and
bluff.
And by the way, the Raiders have just got to be sitting there, Zach, going, what the hell? I mean.
You know who's laughing in the background, by the way?
Yeah. The Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pittsburgh's got it going. We knew all about this. Yes. We could have told you he's late for everything.
Peter King puts in his article this morning in the Monday morning article he always puts out. The Steelers have to be the happiest team in the league right now. They don't have a great player, but they do have a sane, undivided training camp right now.
Yeah.
And that says a lot right there.
You think he doesn't – it's incredible, the stuff. So they've already said he shows up late. He showed up one day with his pads and his three boys while he's going to practice, which, by the way, everybody said, I'll be honest, it's weird to have your three boys with you while
on
you come
field.
Out in the pads.
Yeah.
Like, he's with them.
Right.
Not like they came over and gave him a hug and he needed to see him before. So the team's like – and Gruden's bending over backwards. Gruden's coming out going, hey, I support my guy and whatever – because they got $31 million guaranteed that they don't want to look foolish on, and they're doing everything to get through this preseason and get him ready for the regular season because of what he can do on the field as a number one receiver. And I understand. I get the whole big picture while he's going through this. But can you imagine being the head coach and you've got him on your payroll, and you don't even know where the hell he is. You know he's pouting. He's upset. So some of the things he's done with his helmet to make his old helmet look like the new helmet, and they keep going, Tonio, we know what you're doing.
He's painting
you're
it
painting
himself.
It up. Like, bro, that's a terrible paint job. That thing's out. You can't wear it. You can't wear it, man.
Who's drawing the pirate
says,
out there?
Yeah. You're going to get us in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. You can't wear the helmet, bro. So you need to get used to these new high-tech helmets. No, man, I don't like them. I can't see. So decision now on Antonio Brown helmet. Could come this week. And I'm like, this is the craziest
thing.
What
kind of decision has to be made here? Hey,
if
Antonio,
the league gives in, like.
They can't give in. First off, if you wear a helmet and it's by rule, even if there wasn't a new helmet protocol, even if you could just still wear the old helmets, after 10 years, you got to throw that helmet out anyway. So if this is the same helmet he's been wearing for 10 years and he's changing the colors and changing the paint on it, it's got to go anyway. He needs a new one anyway per NFL rules, not just a new whatever the new brand is that they're using. Even if it was the old brand, a 10-year-old helmet's gone. And by the way, you said before they've invested a lot of money. Since 2016, do you realize how much money the NFL has invested? $60-plus million.
Yeah, they're working
$60-plus million dollars.
So I know some guys that are always trying to sell helmets out there and trying to get, you know, once the NFL signs, then it kind of bleeds down to the college and the high schools because the helmets are safer and this new technology and the getting hit and the impact goes throughout the helmet, not just to one area. All this stuff that's way over my head of like a car accident and how they try to do it with the car and stuff. So they're doing all this. So as these helmets get older, they're going, oh, man, this one's been outdated. Now we got this new technology. This one's better. So these guys that are really smart that come up with this stuff on impact for NASCAR and for hockey and for this, and this guy's going, no, I want to wear my 10-year-old helmet, which, by the way, they're doing because of all the lawsuits with CTE and everything else, like Antonio. I mean, I can't wait to hear what the union has to say about this one, considering all the lawsuits that are pending right now from guys trying to get money, from guys either their wives, from dead players. Nick Bonacani just went through it. And all the other guys on all these teams are going through stuff, and we got a guy that wants to use something old. Like, you cannot make that up. We got to go to break, man. We got a lot more stuff to get to here, including – slow playing, man. Hey, those golfers. I'll tell you what, this thing's a lot more fun when the guys that play fast are pissed at the guys that play slow. That's what I'm talking about. We need a little friggin' drama, man. All right, welcome back and good morning to everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Spend a little time up in, speaking of the Gators, up in Florida.
Yeah, congratulations. You got a smart little daughter,
boy,
huh?
Boy, she is. She's,
wow.
She's on it,
17
man.
Degrees, man.
Well, two, which is two more than most of the Rose family has.
Two more than both the guys in this room, right? She doubled us up and we're two different people.
Well, I was talking to my mom and dad, you know. His kids, she got more degrees than anybody in the whole damn
family. Wow. It's unbelievable. She's started the smartest laughing. Person in your family.
See, we all started cracking up. The Rose family is known, you know, we get our high school degrees, man, and we don't mess around.
Wait,
we go out and find jobs and go to specialty schools.
I have an AA degree, so I guess I have that. So there you go. Now I'm the smartest man.
So we had a lot of fun with that, and of course brought her back here. And
what's the plan
going.
Now? Are you not an empty nester anymore?
What? No, I got one back.
You got a roommate again?
Oh God, that's gonna be tough. She's been on her own. I can't even imagine coming back home.
It's rough, man, coming home from college.
I already did it last night.
Yeah,
first night back, and I heard the wife jumping. Of course, I go to bed a lot earlier than my wife. My wife's a night owl, but I heard her jump in bed, and I did that dad thing, our parent thing. Is she home yet? I mean, it sucks. For anybody out there that's got a kid that moves back home, are they home yet? Because I'm sure she's like, I'm 21.
Right, right.
I don't want to have somebody tell me.
She's not going to.
And I'm like, look, man, I just, like, there's this dad thing that I never understood, but now I get with all of you guys. Did you make it home? Dad, are you serious, bro? I'm 30 years old. Like, I'm fine. Okay.
But you're going to be checking when you leave in the morning to make sure the car is there. Like that's gonna be one
walk
of those
walk right
things.
By the bedroom, of course, it, man. Sometimes look in.
Yep.
Yeah, no, like, oh God, I'm that idiot parent.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nah, it's kinda.
But the empty nesting is gone for now.
Yeah.
I mean, it might come back soon.
And by the way,
I kinda
got used to it.
Right.
Kind of like
you split
like,
that
hey,
carrot cake now.
This ain't bad. This is not split the carrot cake up.
Right.
Nobody else likes a carrot cake in the family.
Taylor doesn't either?
Nobody eats a carrot cake.
Wow, okay, so you're still safe.
So that's why I always think of Hollywood like damn, maybe Hollywood's on to something about carrot cake.
Nah.
Like, nobody touches it. I don't know. But I'm glad you like it. So it makes me feel
if it's a Publix carrot cake, it's
a little better.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, so the Dolphins getting set to leave this afternoon, going up to Tampa Bay, and then they'll practice a couple of days. And by the way, they need a lot of live practice drills. A lot of them, like everybody, to be fair. So, got to find out. And Calhoun and Dieter, I guess, as the scrimmage went on, played better, but need a lot of work. And we knew that, so I'm not going to, like, do that knee-jerk reaction. Like, we don't have an offensive line. Oh, no, we're in trouble. Like, yeah, would you like to be in better shape and have more experience? Yes. But we at least got two guys that have a zillion starts at left and right guard and on the offensive line in the Big Ten and the SEC. They're big guys, and let's play and see what happens, and just let them go, man. Two quarters, two and a half quarters. I'm guessing. I said this the other day to you, Zach. I wouldn't be surprised if when they look at the end of preseason, those guys are over two games of preseason time.
I'm fine with that.
With them, oh no, they need
young
to play.
Dudes. Come on, we're not talking about three, you know, two vets that have played 12 years in the league, and you're worried about it. We're talking about two guys, a rookie guard, two rookie guards, one undrafted, and you got to see what you got from these guys because it is possible when you line up game one of the regular season that both those guys are still in the starting lineup. So you got to see what they got.
Not right, unless they don't. Show improvement, which I'm guessing they will.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to be fine. And
only way to figure that out is to let them play as much as you can during this preseason without kind of throwing them too much playing time. But you got to see, you got to have enough on tape to say those are our two guys in the regular season. Yeah,
they got a lot of tread on the tires. They can get bounced around a little bit. They're young guys. The bodies haven't been through four or five surgeries, so jump on it, man. Jump on it while you can. So we don't usually do this, but the PGA. And it kind of started with Koepka bitching about the slow play, and it kind of started with J.B. Holmes, who is super slow. Got to evaluate, stand over the ball, get back behind it, takes forever. So, you know, we talk about, like, I play with guys that are slow and make a day. You got guys that have to really concentrate on everything and got to be perfect, right? Everything's got to be perfect before they hit it. Even when they're not playing with any in playing for anything, they're still really slow, even on a good old Saturday or Sunday game. But when the pros do it, and now you got some of the top pros coming out, and I mean a bunch of them, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods has even said, yeah, dude, it's bad. So, anyways, J.B. Holmes, we got to see that when he did the big fold, the big choke in the final round. Bryson DeChambeau is another guy, and they're timing him, and they got video of it took like 2 minutes to hit a shot and got behind it and then had to go up and look and then walk back slowly. So a lot of these guys are bitching. Like, it is hard to play. Same thing in tennis. Like, a guy takes forever. Like, between shots, you're like, dude, you got to speed up. This is ridiculous. You're taking. So that's kind of the theme of a lot of sports right now. Is like, get over the friggin' ball and hit it, man. Hit it. Like, we don't want to be out here 5 hours, 4 hours, and no, nobody wants to. Like, hit it. So, apparently got a little ugly out there, but between some of the guys and the caddies and everything else. Hey, next time, guys, tell Koepka and DeChambeau got into it, and I guess DeChambeau went to Koepka's caddy and said, hey, you tell him next friggin' time he's got something to say about me, don't run to friggin' social media. Friggin' tell him to say it to my face. And that got me thinking. Everybody does that. The old school of, hey, dude, it's, and I understand a lot of people don't like, I call it direct confrontation.
Sure.
Right? I mean,
instead of getting in someone's face, you do some social media
posts. It's just easier. Yeah. And it's the same with Twitter and texting. It's just a lot easier, you know, than saying it to somebody's face. I understand that, but it really is like if you got a problem with how slow, although I don't know if it'd make a difference because these guys play so much, sooner or later they all play with each other, right? You play with guys on Thursday and Friday, you make the cut, and you could play with completely different guys on Saturday and Sunday by your scores and where you play. So it's just a matter of time. And all these guys play together. They practice together. They have their own little cliques and everything else on the PGA Tour. So I was thinking about this. I don't, you know, these guys have all bitched about how slow and they've gone to officials. But it would it be kind of weird for you to, hey, dude, you got to pick it up, man. Like, this is ridiculous, bro. You're taking forever to hit the ball. Because the guy's probably going to get mad if you tell him to speed up.
Right, of course.
He goes, dude, that's the way I play.
Right.
I've always played this way. Now it bothers you.
It's a little much. It's a little much what happened over the weekend.
So yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know if you go to somebody directly on this situation or if you, you know. I mean, if it's a buddy, it's like, dude, seriously, man. We started at 8 o'clock. It's already 11:30. We had 5 holes left, bro. Right. It's friggin' hot. Stop.
What do you do? You tell on somebody. You go to the PGA. What do you do here? Because
they have bitch too. They have bitch, and they're trying like baseball. They're trying like now tennis has it where you can
have a shot clock. Like, what are you going to do?
But the problem is nobody in big points and big time. Nobody's gonna follow it. Baseball keeps yapping about we're going to speed the game up, but they're not really. I don't see anybody coming out of the dugout sprinting out to the right.
To hurry up, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know,
but
man.
2 or 3 minutes in between, you know, you getting lined up and taking the putt or, you know, hitting the 170-foot, like whatever it is, it doesn't matter. That's a long time. Like, there's got to be something there. Like, I don't mean that you have to speed it up and say, all right, you got 30 seconds to take this hit, get lined up and go. I can understand the golf's a little bit different of a sport, but you're waiting 2 or 3 minutes. And like, that's a lot. That's a lot of time in between.
Some guys,
you know, come on.
Hit it and then get up over it. Like Koepka, he takes like 5 seconds. He gets over the ball.
Koepka's the worst
example.
He
gets his guy and he says, right. What's the distance? The guy goes 168. He goes, all right, hand me a 9-iron. Hits it. And then he's walking down, and then he stands there and waits. And, like, and, you know, a lot of guys, they all slow walk anyway to the ball. I don't know how far they walk for a round of golf. I'm guessing it's good exercise, but the amount of walking they do, I don't know how PGA is going to take care of this, though. That's a real – like, when do you put the clock on them and the time between? And you're not going to see guys sprinting from hole to hole, although that'd be pretty cool if you did.
That would be fun.
See guys
speed
get
golf
condition.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd take care of all the big guys. The big body guys would be.
Yeah.
And there's less
out.
And less of those guys, but the big body guys, if they had to run from shot to shot, it would be. it'd be brutal.
But two and a half, 3 minutes in between? I mean, come on. That's a little much.
Yeah, so they time these guys, and then on short shots, these guys actually walk up to the green to see what it's like and then walk back, and that drives those guys nuts. Like, dude, really? That's why we have practice rounds, bro. Now you got to look at the thing again to see what it's like. Would you think it changed since Tuesday when you were practicing?
But what can they do? My outside of giving penalty strokes, which will really cause a ruckus.
Well, they'll call – they can call them for different things. I don't know, man. I just thought it was great to see these guys getting after each other and putting a poor caddy, which, by the way, is also a gutless move for Bryson DeChambeau to go to Koepka's caddy and go, hey, you tell him if he's got something to say it to my face.
Right.
If I'm the caddy, go, hey.
He's right
coming
here,
out.
Man.
He'll be out in 2 minutes. Why don't you just wait here?
He's 10
while
feet
you're
away.
Salty,
yeah.
And go get to see mess with the guy that lifts a lot of weights before he comes out here and see what you have to say to his face.
By the way, in the example video where he did take, I think it was almost 3 minutes for the putt, and he missed it so bad, that's what they're making fun of.
Yeah, no, they're
the
having
fact,
fun.
You're take
all that
3 minutes.
All that time, you still missed it.
And he missed it pretty bad, too. It was like me going up there. Come
crazy.
On. Yeah, but I just don't know what you're going to do outside of PGA instituting a penalty. And if they do that, and you know what it is, changing a sport is one thing. When they go to the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA and they change something, maybe make the shot clock a little different or the three-point line 3 feet forward or back in the NBA or whatever it is, it's always different in golf if they try to change something because you're hurting the sport. You're hurting this sport that's been around forever. How could you speed it up? It's a sport that it needs to be changed. You can't have 3 minutes in between shots and have three guys out there. Someone's going to get pissed off.
Good luck. Good luck on all that stuff.
You're right.
Find out all these guys who are all good players all bitching at each other. Right. Anyway, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to. Antonio Brown, man, hitting places we've never been before. Wanting to keep his 10-year-old helmet and threatening if he can't have it to quit like a 2-year-old. I swear to God. When he said, I'm going to retire, if you're going to do that to me, I'm going to retire. And then, what is that social media stuff he's doing? Like, what will you guys think of me if I quit? Like, what was that all about? Like, this dude, this is a different dude now. Yeah. This guy is, Pittsburgh got to be laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Now
Mike
you
Tomlin.
Guys know what it's like.
Right.
Now it's going on, and Gruden's got to defend him. Like, oh, I support whatever he's doing. Well, of course you do. Got a lot of money invested in him. Of course you have to. We got to go to break here. Don't forget, you can always join us on the Lexus of Kendall and Lexus of West Kendall text line 56022. We'll be back and got a lot more stuff to get to. By the way, if you haven't seen this whole Antonio Brown story, it really is amazing. I've never seen anything like it. Never. Never seen anything like it from the former Norland High School wide receiver.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I support this guy. You know, I think that's what needs to be said. I don't know what anybody's writing or what anybody thinks, but this foot injury wasn't his fault. You know, this was a total accident. It really wasn't his fault, and it's a serious injury. I know some people are smarting at it, but it's really not a laughing matter. The guy was hurt. He was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong, and the helmet thing is a personal matter to him. You know, he has a strong feeling about what he's worn on his head, and we're supporting him. We understand the league's position as well, so we're in a tough spot. And we hope Antonio is back here soon because he's exciting to be around. I'm excited. I got some plays for him. I hope we can start calling him.
John Gruden doing basically the only thing he could do, and that's support his guy, and hopefully he comes back, as Antonio Brown has now filed grievance with the NFL in enforcement of helmet regulations, trying to – I don't know how you go about that when the league spends all this money to put the safest possible helmet they can, which, by the way, they're never going to be able to 100% get a helmet.
No.
Ever, with the size of these guys running and hitting each other helmet to helmet and helmet to body and everything else. So he's saying he wants to wear a 10-year-old helmet. Can you imagine a helmet 10 years old and the new technology from just 10 years ago? Just 10 years ago. And Antonio saying he can't see, doesn't feel comfortable. And I'm like, wow, you're the only one.
Right.
You're the only one. By the way, not only are you the only one, but you look, Zach, the amount of guys, 2,000 players. 2,000 players on active and on the active roster and the practice squads. 2,000 guys, man. 2,016 players.
Right.
And
he'd be the only guy.
And you're the one. And then you come out and say you're going to quit. If I can't have my helmet, I'm quitting. So if I lose this, I'm quitting, which we'll see if he walks from $50 million. But this is the damnedest thing. The other things, and Al Gruden has said this, and I mean, listen, they're begging. They got egg on their face. They went all in to get him. Doesn't show up on time. They don't know where he is. I've never heard when guys leave, and guys do go to specialist. Guys, that happens every day. Guys go to specialist when they get a little nicked up. They go ahead and want to use a team doctor. They go, all right, here's a, and their agent goes, we're going to specialist and New York or Alabama or wherever it might be, they go. But teams know where they are. The specialists talk with the team. Hey, here's what I found. Okay, here, how do you want us to treat it? Okay, great. Well, that's what we'll do. They don't even know where he is. And so he switches from the foot to the helmet, and they're going, oh, he's really mad about the helmet. It's like, hey, man, you can't wear this helmet. League's not going to – you got to get used to your other helmet, man. We can't let you wear it. We're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. Give us that damn thing or take it home because you can't use it. And he leaves again to the point it looks like he doesn't like Napa. That's where they practice. It doesn't look like he's all in on this thing. And then somebody gave information about Antonio Brown about showing up late, disappears. Team's embarrassed. They don't know where he is. From the frostbite to pouting about his helmet, wherever he is, and everything else that's going on, even what he's doing, why they when he does show up for meetings, I don't know who's close enough to see that. Only usually a couple guys around you can see it.
What's happened in the last 18 months of this guy's life?
That's a great question.
It's an 18-month kind of situation because you read all the stories about it, whether it's Michael Silver or Peter King wrote a whole thing about it in his article this morning. Like, he pouted and bitched and got his way out of Pittsburgh, and we all kind of laughed at that because we didn't think it would happen.
Oh, no.
And he got out and got what he wanted. He got more money
right
on top of a contract extension he just signed in the last 2 years before that. He got $30 million guaranteed sitting in an envelope waiting for him basically in Oakland. And in Vegas once they move there. You think he's going to walk out on that after all that he's done in the last 18 months to change the precedent for basically any really good player in the NFL? If you bitch enough, you're going to get your way. It's not going to happen with everybody, but it will happen with the elite of the elite if you get there. He's paved the way for that. And now, outside of frostbite, which is one of the weirdest things I've ever heard to happen to a player, now he's going to walk away from the NFL because of a helmet? I'll be honest, if I'm the Raiders, of course, you want him to be on that team. He's probably one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the league. But I call his bluff. At this point, you really going to walk away from $30 million?
They're staying away from this, man.
They have to because they don't want to lose the guy.
They're letting
geez.
The league, and they're going, hey, we had your back the whole time. The league, if they give in on this and he somehow
you
wins
can't give
this,
in on this
and you let him play with an outdated helmet, I mean, I don't know how you can – I know people are going to say, well, make him sign something if he gets injured with the helmet. I don't think you can do that. I'm not an attorney, and I don't play one early in the morning. But it just – it's such a weird story. It really is. Like, they're trying to give you a safer helmet.
Right.
And you're filing lawsuit and grievance against us because we spend all this money to make you safer for that shot you take across the middle. And you're going, no, I want my old helmet, which is not safe. And that's why they're doing it. They're not doing it to punish players. So anyway, it's a really, really crazy, crazy story. We've seen some bizarre stuff. Matter of fact, Antonio Callaway, too, four-game suspension.
Yeah.
We'll just move from Norland High School down to Booker T. But a really talented guy, Antonio Callaway, 4-game suspension for substance abuse policy. And he came out and said, hey, man, I'm glad the team's sticking with me as I'm going to miss a quarter of the season, which is crazy that one happened. But then we have a good story. I got something good for Dane. I mean, I'm going on. Artie Burns, man, what a story of what he's been through. I don't know if Canes fans remember his story. His mother passed, and he kind of had to raise their now teenage brothers. His father's in prison, trying to do what he can from there. But so Artie's trying to be a great cornerback and make it. Didn't have a great year last year, but the team hasn't lost confidence in him. Know what he's going through, trying to do both. He's got his own family. And still trying to play father to kids. There's a great article actually in ESPN about it. But Artie's just kind of guy, man. You root for, man. Trying to help. I guess his one brother's now in college, but trying to help out with that. Plus his own family. Just an incredible story. If you get a chance to read it, pretty neat story. So we got all kinds of,
thank God, a positive story.
Crazy,
right?
Crazy stuff. Yeah, between. But it just tells you how many guys we have. I mean, you talk about Antonio Brown, Artie Burns, and Antonio Callaway, and all three are Dade County guys.
Always comes
actually.
Back here, you know that.
It's always a lot of good stuff. We got a little OJ coming up a little bit later in the show. OJ was back on Twitter, and I just started cracking.
Twitter world.
Yeah, I just saw the golf club in his hand while he's talking.
Yeah, just a still shot, yeah.
And you're like, oh, no. Can you imagine some of the fresh material everybody got off that?
So you say, oh, no, and I say, give me more.
He can't help himself.
Because he cannot help himself.
And if you're wondering about the Canes, today is decision day. Actually, last night, coaches made a decision, I'm guessing, if they're coming out with it this morning. A lot of people thought they might do it last night. And do it as Enos and Manny got together, probably with some others, and discussed it. And we'll see what happens today. Which one of the three guys, a lot of people think Jaren Williams, is going to be the starting quarterback, which there for a while, 2 weeks ago, I never heard Jaren Williams. I thought it was a Martell and Perry thing. So that
I'm sticking with my Tate connection there, but I don't even know what to think at this point. After Manny coming out after that scrimmage the other night.
No, there's people privately
saying how bad that offense looked.
There's a lot of people privately saying Jaren Williams, people that were allowed to go. And listen, the guys see, you got 90 guys. Like, there's no way Manny can expect after a scrimmage. Players know. Players know who plays well and who doesn't. Players know after a game, like, oh, Manny had a great game. Or, I mean, a lot of people. I'm guessing, are the parents involved? Are the parents get invited to those scrimmages? I'm not sure if they do or not.
That's a good question.
But, yeah, people that were there, they can tell. And I know everybody was struggling the first half, and the defense just beat the you-know-what out of the Canes, especially the tackles. Just offensive line's not good enough right now. It's not. It's going to be Zion Nelson, true freshman. It's going to line up at left tackle. It's going to get better. It's just lack of experience. It's the old growing pains, like the Dolphins and their guards. There's growing pains at every level for guys going from high school to college and college to pro. It is friggin' huge jumps. And if you start in any program as a true freshman, you're talking about beating out guys that have been around. You're pretty damn special to make that jump from high school. And as far as that goes, if you're a rookie and you start after 4 preseason games in the NFL, you're pretty special too. You just are. And I know a lot of draft picks do start, and that's the way the game is structured right now. But, man, I think coming in out of high school into a Power 5 conference and you can start, especially bigger programs, it's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive.
Because you got a lot of 4- and 5-star and 3-star ahead of you, and you get out there in day one, especially for guys that don't graduate early and go to spring football, guys that just – go through their senior year and then come during the summer and start. That's an impressive one too. So anyway, I'm going to go with Jaren Williams today. I'm going to go ahead and go out on. What do you think, Woody? You want to go in on this one, Mr. UM?
I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards Nikosi Perry a little bit, Joe, because if all things are equal here, he does have the experience.
That's true. That, by the way.
And that was kind of what happened last year.
That's a good point.
Has anyone really distanced themselves? Because I haven't seen that from any of the guys who cover practice.
I don't think anyone stood out or anything like that.
So.
Nobody's going, that one dude, like it, like everybody knows that one. No, you're not getting that.
If you were playing Bethune-Cookman in the opener, maybe a little bit of a different story here. So, but you're playing in a tough environment, tough team in your opening game, so I tend to lean towards a guy that has the experience who's played in games like that.
Three of us had choices, three different answers. That shows you where the QB race is right now.
Yeah, no, no, and I agree.
I'm basing that on experience. That's really it. Because, again, none of these guys seem to have distanced themselves. I feel like we would have heard from some of the writers because practice has been open, right? Like, there's been opportunities.
No, same thing. Guys, good and bad plays, each one. Thing about Martell, we'll talk about this 7 o'clock hour, but Martell seems to be, like, real good leader, all the good things you want, except he's throwing the ball all over the place. Just not what you want. You want to see some accuracy. You want to see guys stand in there and make it. All three guys apparently can run, so that's not an issue. So anyway.
I would have loved to have seen someone just take the job instead of coming to this.
I know, but come on, man. We all kind of said this. I know I did during the summer. It's hard for me to imagine all of a sudden through summer and 2 weeks of practice in camp, and one guy was just going to run away with this. And make it easy. Like, wow, he got a lot better during the summer throwing. I didn't see it happening. Anyway, we got to go to break. 7 o'clock hour's coming up. We got a lot more stuff to get to as the Canes will make a decision. I'm guessing, hey, I'm going to tell you what I'll go out. I think before noon they'll have a decision today.
How about that one?
I haven't been right on anything I've said yet.
No, that's a good throw out there, throwing stuff out.
Yeah. Something's going to stick to the wall.
You hope, yes.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.